All right. There popped. Oh yeah, yeah. So we're gonna do mechanical ventilation today. There we go. All right. I guess I got it now. Lectures 1 and 2. There we go. Discussion indications for basically BiPAP, describe types of breaths and modes of mechanical ventilation, and outline the settings and monitoring for initiation of mechanical ventilation, and then we'll go through a second set of slides as well. For the first case study, 65-year-old, exacerbation of COPD, accessory muscle use, wheezing, 2 bronchodilator treatments. There you got your vital signs, hypertensive, tachycardic, tachypneic. And there's your ABG 724-60-65. So what type of respiratory support would you initiate at first? Thoughts? And you just let them sit there? Come on, guys. You gonna put them on oxygen? Sure. All right. Is that really gonna help this out? Is this gonna fix this? Pardon? Yeah. All right. So that's not going to cut it. So what do you want to do now? All right. You want to start with BiPAP. All right. That's pretty reasonable. So candidates for non-invasive positive pressure ventilation, I should say. They should get better 48 to 72 hours. They've got to be alert and cooperative, hemodynamically stable, kind of plus minus. They could be on low dose pressors. Able to control their secretions, able to coordinate with the BiPAP machine, and I like the last one there. No contraindications. What would be another contraindication? Someone who's not hemodynamically stable, somebody who's not alert and cooperative. Thoughts on this?
Facial trauma or something?
Yeah. That'd be a pretty good example. Likelihood of that probably a little bit lower, but one of the ones I try to keep in mind is GI bleed. General surgeons, for the most part, they had abdominal surgery. They don't want you to be messing around with BiPAP, especially if it's esophageal. Right? So you need like an Ivor Lewis or anything like that. They're going to want you to avoid that. The impact of that, probably reasonably low. The air is probably going to go the path of least resistance, which should be the lungs, not down the esophagus. So what are the advantages of using BiPAP in this patient? Well, what's the big advantage? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now I can do that with a dentricule tube. You don't get an dentricule tube, right? So if I want to take somebody from being intubated to breathing on their own, we got to extubate them. And if you got to go back, they got to get reintubated. This, if we want to swap back and forth, all you do is take the mask off and then you put it back on. It's about as easy as it gets. Complications of intubation, preserves your airway reflexes. Obviously, you put a tube down somebody, initially they lose their reflexes. Improves patient comfort. That's kind of going to be questionable sometimes with the abrasions and pressure ulcers they get on their nose in particular. But nonetheless, I'd say it's definitely more comfortable. Decreases your need for sedation. Basically, you get away with none. Although we had somebody on Presidex overnight in NICU on BiPAP, which I didn't understand. Shortens hospital ICU stay and improves survival. So that's your initial ABG up top. And so what is your goal for respiratory support? And this touches on, I think you were saying this a few minutes ago. What's your primary goal with this patient? What's the problem?
Hypercarbia.
Yeah. Yeah. So you want to ventilate them, right? Do you really want to push their PaO2 up much higher than it was? Is 65?
No.
Yeah. So what's their SAT? We did this 2 weeks ago, I think. What's the SAT on PaO2 at 65?
Over
90. Yeah, probably 90-95, somewhere in that ballpark. It's probably pretty good for this patient at or near baseline, especially with 3 liters nasal cannula. I think that was what they were at home. So what kind of settings would you start out with BiPAP? Give me numbers. Or what are the options?
iPad, EPAP, FiO2, okay. Great. And I guess if I start, I think you can start as low as a EPAP of like 4, but I think I can do like 12-6 is kind of my go-to initial settings, and then like FiO2 of mean, if this guy's auctioning this fine, he could even be on like 30-40%, that'd be okay, it seems like, if I okay. Then a rate of, I don't know, 14-15.
Anybody disagree? I think all that sounds pretty stinking reasonable. You may consider starting them out with a higher FiO2 than the, would you say, 35 to 40?
Yeah.
Maybe. But you may blunt some of his respiratory drive.
Right.
So I think all that sounds quite reasonable. I usually guess somewhere around 10 over 5. You said 12 over 6?
Yeah, right.
What's the difference?
Yeah, I don't know.
Not a whole hell of a lot. All right. And so how do you want to monitor this patient? Without the easy stuff. What's going to be in the room with the patient? Yeah, you're going to have a SAT monitor. Obviously, vital signs. Right. Well, what's important with this patient? Looking at them? Sure. Mental status? Heck yeah. They start getting confused, then you may need to rethink your BiPAP use. All right. So 1 hour later, there's your ABG, 72, 65, 58, and they're hypertensive, tachycardic, still tachypneic. So now what? Keep watching them. Hope they get better. Check on them in another day. What do you do? Probably going to intubate this patient, yeah. Typically, you want to wait about an hour. And if they're not getting better, it's about time to move on and put a tube in them. Obviously, that can kind of be a little bit subject to interpretation in terms of how long you're going to wait. But this person's failing, and so it's time to move on.
To what degree would changing their BiPAP settings help them?
Well, you've gone from 3 liters nasal cannula to non-invasive, and that's a substantial amount of support, and they've gotten worse. I mean, all right, how about this? If, let's say their gas had stayed the same, it was still the 725, 60 over 60. I mean, is that, would you be willing to maintain that given what they're doing?
Yeah. Sometimes it's like in between, like, do I need to play with the BiPAP, or is it if it didn't work?
Yeah. So what's the problem with this most recent gas? What do you have there?
I mean, it's worsening respiratory acidosis, and a little bit worse, and his respiratory rate. What was the concern?
It was about there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they've got both. They've got hypoventilation and, well, more hypoxemia. What's their PA, what's their SAT right now with a PaO2 of 58, give or take?
High 80s.
Yeah, high 80s.
Yeah, this guy, I totally know that you should be able
to. Yeah. Well, I guess where I'm going is, so you look at the BiPAP, and you've got them on 10 over, or 12 over 6, and they their tidal volumes are 550. If you go up on BiPAP, is that going to, or you go up on your IPAP, is that going to help?
That's what I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, 550 for most patients, that's too big a breath.
That'll increase
a maybe. But, well, you may increase the pressure, but is it going to increase the tidal volume? Probably not. Now, if they were getting 300 cc tidal volumes and you're on my settings, I said 10 over 5, maybe try on 12 over 5 or something like that and watch the tidal volumes and then check another gas, potentially. But nonetheless, yeah, with this one, you want to see what the interaction is with the BiPAP, all right, and see what it does. What would be the highest IPAP you'd put them on? Would you be willing to put somebody on 30? Yeah, put them on 30 over 10? Yeah, I think it's a pretty horrible idea. Most of it's just going to leak out the sides or leak out that side port that's on the circuit. So there is a kind of a level, and probably where I would peak out is somewhere in the neighborhood of 14 of the IPAP. Once you hit 14, probably done. Okay. Conceivably, you could drop his EPAP a little bit. If you were on 12 over 6, you could drop it down to 12 over 5, see if you get a better tidal volume, or 4, something like that. But it may or may not work, and you're also going to do that to the effect of decreasing oxygenation, because you're dropping PEEP, effectively, by dropping your EPAP. Okay. All right. So, put a tube in them. So what ventilator mode would you select? Yes.
I mean, it's basically you're already tubing.
Yeah, you got a tube in now. Mm-hmm. So somebody said assist control.
Yeah.
All right, so AC?
Volume
control? Okay. Well, there's your title volume. Or the question about title volume. How much title, what title volumes would you give? It's an average patient. What about his weight? Weight doesn't matter at all. Ideal body weight is only based on height. It has nothing to do with weight. You're exactly right. All right, say it's 5'10". Give me a ballpark. 500? Typically 500 or less for most patients. I mean, if you had Shaquille O'Neal, you're probably going to give a larger title volume than you will to most people. But most ventilators should be set to 500 or less. You will have some people who trip over it. I don't know what, I think mine would be about 525, and I'm reasonably tall. All right. What's going to be your rate? We want to start them on. You can kind of reverse engineer it a little bit because you're just looking at the BiPAP and he's breathing 30 times a minute, wouldn't it? Right? Something like that. What's your problem though when you do that?
I think you're running into auto beep problems.
Yeah. Probably. Yeah.
14, 16.
Something like that.
Half it.
You could do that. You may get a little bit better tidal volumes with a patient's intubated. Like legit tidal volumes because you won't have as much leak around the mask and everything like that. This is recorded. There's your airway pressures over time, inspiratory versus expiratory cycles. With that, what mode would that be? AC what? If it looks like this, it's graphed out like that. I'll give you a hint. ACPC, you're gonna basically go straight to your inspiratory pressure. You come across. Volume control, it's gonna kind of shark tooth a little bit more. All right, then you lose this area under the curve. It's one of the reasons why you put someone on ACPC. Sometimes you can get better tidal volumes in the same peak pressures because you've got more area under the curve because you're buying this portion of the cycle. Just as a thought. So different types of breaths, volume cycle, time cycle, flow cycle. So your options are AC, pressure support ventilation, and synchronized intermittent ventilation, or mandatory ventilation. So one thing that the ventilators here, keep in mind, pressure support is always called CPAP, which drives me a little bit insane. Just keep in mind, when you see CPAP on our ventilators, where everywhere else you go, more than likely it's going to be called pressure support. So these are showing the differences between spontaneous breathing without non-invasive versus CPAP. And the difference is with spontaneous breathing, you have exhalation when you're producing pressure versus with CPAP, it's going to be you're exhaling at the opposite side of the respiratory cycle. Assist control, you have volume versus time cycle breaths. So this is volume assist control versus these are flow cycled. And you can kind of see how, and unfortunately this isn't as high as the other one, but you go basically to the top and then come across versus a shark's tooth. That makes sense. And then SIMV where they get intermittent breaths, and you can be on SIVC or SIPC, so they can be pressure controlled or volume controlled mandatory breaths. And those are showing the spontaneous breaths in between, typically a little bit more comfortable for patients. SIMV versus pressure support. So the first one's giving them no help with this spontaneous breaths. The second one, they are getting support. So going back to that same patient, COPD exacerbation, they failed. What ventilator mode are you gonna choose for this patient? You gotta pick something. What are you gonna pick? Kind of talked about it already. Go back out there, ACVC. All right. So, what's the optimum initial volume? We've established that. It's probably 500 or less, somewhere in that neighborhood. Rate of ventilation, we've talked about. Now, what's your FiO2 initially? Put the tube in. What are you going to set the vent to? Probably start at 100 and ratchet down reasonably quickly. So you want to use a familiar ventilator mode. Don't put somebody on bi-level if you've never seen bi-level before. If you put this guy on bi-level, he's going to hate it because you're going to CO2 retain like hell. Do you guys know what bi-level is? Okay. You can kind of mimic it with the ventilators here, but they don't actually have the mode for it, but it's for severe ARDS. Initial FiO2 started at 1, come on down, target greater than 92%. Initial tidal volume, 8 to 10 per kilo. How's this number kind of a little bit different, isn't it? Why is it 8 to 10? You see 6 to 8 a lot. Why is this right or is this wrong? 6 to 8 is more for ARDS. Yeah. But we're going to be in the ballpark, right? This guy's ideal body weight's probably in the neighborhood of 50 kilos, ideal. So that'd be an appropriate, say 500 or less. Your rate and minute ventilation appropriate for clinical needs. So this is kind of where you go back, you look at what your minute ventilation was on CPAP and try to mimic that or be a little bit better than with CPAP. You should be roughly accurate. And then PEEP to support oxygenation. All right, monitoring assessment is needed after mechanical ventilation. What do you need? Think about what's in the room. All right, well, first, what's in the room? You got a monitor, so you want to follow vital signs. You mentioned ABG, chest x-ray post tube placement. You want to watch the patient. Watching for synchrony is a big issue. Looking at your inspiratory pressures, where do you want to keep your inspiratory pressures? About right. You want to keep them basically as low as possible.
Yeah.
All right. Why is your IDU ratio important?
Well, you want to leave more time for expiration
in
these people.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And really for anybody.
Yeah.
This guy probably needs more than some.
Right.
But for anybody, you want to make sure that they have adequate. You could have a 30-year-old who has ARDS, and if you ventilate them the wrong way, they can auto-PEEP, even though they should have enough time. All right. The last one's kind of important, the ventilator alarms. The ventilator alarms here are noxious at best. You want to watch those and make sure that somebody hasn't gone back and changed them to the point where they're never going to alarm. So peak inspiratory pressure and plateau pressures. So which one do you watch over time? Is somebody getting better? Is your peak or your plateau? You have somebody with ARDS. You've got these two values over days. Which one's going to be the sign of improvement? Plateau pressure. What's going to be a cause for elevated peak pressures?
Somebody biting the tube.
Okay, so. Yeah? So, obstruction of the tube. Like mucus plugging is a good one. All right? If they're biting the tube, a lot of times there won't be a breath at all. Because. They're going to be biting, and that's, you know, you're not going to get anything through. But your plateau pressures are going to be indicative of improvement. And this is just, again, showing the cycle. Are these healthy lungs or crap lungs? Where your peak is quite close to your plateau. Kind of depends. They could be really healthy, or they could be really sick. We don't know what the airway pressure is. This could be 15 millimeters of mercury. Or this could be 50 millimeters of mercury. If it's 50, they're sick. It's just showing the same thing. Keep them less than 30 on your plateaus. Determinants of inspiratory time with volume ventilation is how big is your tidal volume? What's your inspiratory flow rate? All right, the flow rate is something that's sometimes overlooked on when people are setting up the ventilators. Usually people look at the rate, the volume, FiO2, and the PEEP. But if you don't have your flow set fast enough, then that will extend out their how long their eye time is, giving them less time in the expiratory phase. And you want to make sure they have adequate time for exhalation. So, auto-PEEP, how can you tell with this one? You look at your flow curve, and on exhalation, if they don't return back to baseline, are probably auto-PEEPing, and you need to increase your flow, decrease your rate, decrease your tidal volumes, one of those three more than likely. What else would you see, by the way, going back to auto-PEEP? What else would you see, particularly in the monitors, in terms of vital signs?
Reduced blood pressure.
Yeah, massively reduced blood pressure. If you see that and you start to suspect that, ventilator's going crazy, blood pressure's in the can, I mean, you gotta be thinking about a few things. One would be, is there a pneumo? But pop them off the ventilator and put them back on and see what your tidal volumes are then. Your blood pressure should come screaming back up, should, when you relieve that intrathoracic pressure. So, consequences of auto-PEEP: increased pressures, hypotension, worsened oxygenation, interventions to decrease auto-PEEP, all the things that we just talked about. All right, so we'll move on to the next slide. Okay, let's basically the hallmark with BiPAP: watch them for a short period of time. Don't leave somebody, if they're not improving, you can leave them on BiPAP, but they need to improve on BiPAP. You want to have a margin for error. We can go ahead and switch over to the other one. Sorry. All right. So, interactions between ventilatory parameters and modifications needed to avoid harmful effects of mechanical ventilation, and review guidelines for initial vent settings. All right. So, first case study, 18-year-old student, unresponsive at party. What's the important part you got on that first little bullet point?
Yeah.
Huh? Her height. Okay. So now we know she's 5'4". Vomitus in the pharynx, difficult intubation. SATs 87 to 88 on 100% oxygen. Her high pressure alarm is sounding off. Can you guys really see that chest X-ray? Well, bilateral patchy infiltrates. I can see it from here. It's really hard for you guys to see. So, what ventilator settings are you going to go with? Okay, how big? She's 5'4". She's on the maybe.
350.
Okay, were you going to say something?
No, I'll say 350.
350, 400? I wouldn't go north of 400. Mm-hmm. And we can do the calculation, but nonetheless. All right, which can be your rate? Well, 14, 16, somewhere in that ballpark. You're probably not going to do 30. You're probably not going to do 6. Yeah. Start out somewhere. FiO2? Yeah. All right. What's your other option here? The other parameter we've got to alter, which is going to be important.
Yeah.
Is what? PEEP?
6 to 8.
6 to 8? I'd probably crank it up quite a bit higher than that. I'd probably start with 10, 12, somewhere in that neighborhood. She's young. She probably was healthy, probably. She probably has a good heart. She hopefully will tolerate higher PEEP. So there's what they got set up as. So we've kind of gone through what the problems are, right? Your FiO2 is fine. This is ACVC, that's fine. But your tidal volumes are too big, your rate is too slow, and your PEEP is too low. So moving on, what parameters should be measured? So this is, again, you've got a patient sitting in a room with a ventilator. They're intubated.
Vital.
Yep, vital signs, SATs, what else? ABG. What do you check right when you put a tube in?
Chest
X-ray, breath sounds, look at the patient, vent synchrony, look at your alarms, look at the ventilator, make sure that everything's appropriate. There's your SAT, ABG 738, 36, 57. Peak is 52, and your plateau is 48. Auto PEEP 0. And a respiratory rate's 18. Right. So, right off the bat, anything that you see that you should change?
Well, really, I think your FiO2 is 100, right?
Mm-hmm. And we were on 5 a PEEP, which we've already changed, right? I kind of did this a little bit backwards, right? Mm-hmm. So, we would go up on our PEEP. Mm-hmm. Probably our PaO2 is better. Mm-hmm. But when we go up on PEEP, what else is going to change that's up here? Well, your blood pressure could change, but what else is up here, right here? yeah, your peak and plateaus are probably going to change, and not for the better, especially if we're shooting for a plateau less than 30. We're way outside of the ballpark on that. What else? You definitely would. All right. So what's that going to do for us? So, all right. If we put the tidal volumes, it was 550. We drop it down to, we'll say, 400. All right. So it's a substantial reduction. Sorry. Well, you've got barotrauma in play, regardless with the plateaus and the peaks. You'd have volume trauma in play with those old ventilator settings, 10 over 550. Absolutely. So you have to do the thing, you know, ventilators don't help people. They keep them alive, but they hurt people actively. So what we want to do is limit the pain that we're causing the lungs, right? And the ways that we do that are reducing peaks, reducing plateaus, utilizing PEEP, and reducing FiO2s. You don't want the alveoli popping open and closing and then popping open again. So there's your SAT on 1.0 FiO2, and I usually try not to say percent because it's a fraction. So 40% is 0.4. There's your gas, 738, 36, 57. Your peaks, 52. Plateaus, 48. Nope, auto PEEP. Respiratory rate, 18. All the same. How are we doing in terms of oxygenation? Pretty bad, yeah. But is that okay? Is it tolerable? Are you willing to accept that? A PaO2 of 50, 57. We'll go back to it. What's the SAT? Yeah. Here's right to 88. See that relationship? 57. I just said 87, to be honest. Is that okay?
It's not okay, but it's not terrible.
Yeah. So what your options are, you're going to do horrible things to her for the next couple of days and make her lungs worse? Or do you tolerate it? And I don't know that you wouldn't tolerate it. You've got an 18-year-old who's probably got a cardiac output. Yeah, I know. It makes you nervous, but you have a cardiac output that's, she's going to be an extremist. Her CO could go as high as 10. Her oxygen delivery is going to be adequate. And we've had a couple of ECMOs that have been, they've gone a week with SATs between 40 and 70 they never developed any end organ damage. So it's something to think about is what's her cardiac output. That SAT of 88 may be fine. Well, not fine. It's indicative of horrible lung injury. All right, so those are your current ventilating settings, which you've already changed. What would you change? Obviously, going down them, you'd want to try to get your FiO2 down. You probably wouldn't do it yet. You want to drop your tidal volumes. You want to increase your respiratory rate, and you want to increase your PEEP. All right. So determinants of oxygenation is FiO2, and ultimately your mean airway pressure. And one of your best markers for that is PEEP. That's why we go up with PEEP. When you need more oxygen, you come down with it when you're adequate. Okay. Going back to her, crap vent settings, what are the consequences of the following ventilator changes? If you increase the PEEP, what's going to happen? If you change her PEEP from 5 to something else that's higher, what's that going to do to her oxygenation? It should improve her oxygenation. What else could happen, though, with PEEP? Let's say I put her from 5 to 20. What's that going to do to her? Well, if you left all the other ventilator settings the same, yes, but she's probably going to become profoundly hypotensive. Right. You're going to have dramatic reduction in preload. I'm being extreme when I say 20 of PEEP, but nonetheless. But some hypotension with a PEEP of 10, PEEP of 12. You may need to volume challenge them a little bit. What if you increase the tidal volumes? What's going to be the consequence of that? Barotrauma. Volume trauma, both, right? What else? You may get your CO2 down some, but are you helping the patient? Probably not. So what changes would you do to decrease inspiratory plateau pressures? You could alter it somewhat, but a lot of the plateau pressure is going to be independent. It's not something that you're necessarily going to do with the ventilator. So, ARDS, acute lung injury, hypoxemic respiratory failure, decreased lung compliance, high pressures, you need to lower your tidal volumes. This is where that 6 to 8 comes in versus what we were talking about in the previous set. Keep your plateau pressures less than 30 as possible. P Pete, to improve your oxygenation, come down on your FiO2, and permissive hypercapnia may be necessary. Give me a number on that. How high would you let the CO2 get? 60? Okay. What if it went to 80? Would that be okay? It would depend. What would it depend on?
Where the oxygen. Where they're usually at?
All right, so oxygenation is probably going to be relatively independent of what you're doing with regard to ventilation, relatively. Where they live at. So if they live at 60, so we live at 40, right? So I let somebody's PaCO2 get to 60 in here, are they going to be okay? Not great, but we're trying to protect lungs, right? What's the pH going to be? Throw out a number. What's your pH going to be if I change anybody in here from 40 to 60?
7.2.
7.2?
Yeah.
All right. Is that going to matter for most of us? No. Huh? It's livable, dependent. Okay. What's your pressor requirement? Are we now on pressors? If somebody's not on pressors and their pH is 7.2, I'm totally fine with it. If it's 7.25, I'm okay with it if they're on pressors. But I'm not necessarily going to hyperventilate somebody and expose their lungs to those elevated pressures to blow down CO2 if it doesn't matter. So you let them ride high. There's a patient in CSU right now who's got his bicarb is nearly 40, and he had a CO2 of his CO2 where he lives is in the neighborhood of 60. So that guy, clearly, I'm totally fine with an 80 for right now until we get him closer to extubation. But it depends on where you are with your pH. It's basically what your bicarb is. And it's to what you're saying. His kidneys, or their kidneys have corrected, right? It's where they live. They've had a long time to get there. All right, so second one, 70-year-old, long smoking history, failed BiPAP, intubated, sedated, receiving mechanical ventilation. There's your height, 69 inches, 5'9", and you've got low pressure, low blood pressure alarm sounding. All right, let's throw out some ventilator settings on this guy. You just intubated him, what do you want to do? Forget the low blood pressure alarm for right now. What are you going to put him on initially? 5'9".
100
around 5'9". Okay, give me what mode first? Let's go mode.
ACVC.
We've been talking about ACVC the whole time, let's stay with it. ACVC, all right, rate. Kind of depends, like where were they before? Do we have an ABG beforehand, but throw out a rate. 14 sounds awesome, all right? Tidal volume, what tidal volume for a 5'9" guy? 450 is probably bang on. All right, PEEP and FiO2. Start out at 1 and PEEP, well, it depends on what their SAT was beforehand, before you started this whole thing. If they started out 70, and their chest x-ray before you did it looks like a nightmare, you're probably going to start them on 12 a peep. All right? If they were on nasal cannula and they were on 40% of BiPAP and everything like that, then you may start quite a bit lower, 6. So we've kind of run through most of these. They chose SIMV. What's wrong with these? What jumps off the screen? Tidal volume is ridiculously large. There's probably nobody that you're going to ventilate with 700. Now, admittedly, a lot of this stuff comes from the operating room. Anesthesiologists would set up the ventilator, and this was historical, and we 15 years ago, would ventilate patients with 650 tidal volumes. And it's been shown to be wrong. Even in a short period of time, you have a knee scope that takes 45 minutes, it's shown lung damage. And so there's been a massive change to move those tidal volumes down. But you have somebody that leaves the operating room, comes to an ICU, and their ventilator's set the wrong way, there's going to be that inclination to just leave it alone. Don't touch the ventilator. It was set up. Somebody knew what they were doing. Now a lot of that's changed, but 700 is ridiculous. What else is wrong on that? What else jumps off the screen? Less so than 700. That may be okay. Maybe. I don't know. Depends on how you set up the vent. If as long as they're not breathing 30 times a minute and you have them on a set rate of 10, then it may be okay.
You're taught to not
use forbidden. Typically, you just go straight from one to the other. You go from AC to CPAP, mm-hmm. Pressure support, right? That's typically what I do. I'll use SIMB for very brief periods of time, occasionally, to get them bridge over, to get them to retain some CO2 so they'll breathe on their own so that they can tolerate pressure support. But how about an FiO2 of 1 and a PEEP of 5? Is that anywhere near what sounds reasonable? I mean, if you think about your ARGENET protocol, I mean, I kind of follow that, even if it's somebody not with the demonstrable ARDS. But if you're on 10 a PEEP, you should be on in the neighborhood of 70%. But if you're on 5 a PEEP, you should be in the neighborhood of 30%. So this patient's FiO2 is sky high with a PEEP that's about as low as it gets. You don't go lower than that. So that PEEP needs to move up, and that FiO2 needs to come down afterwards. And probably your 12 breaths a minute may or may not cut it, but it's going to depend on what's the performance of the lungs. Is E time adequate? So there's your ABG post-intubation, 720, 60, 215. Plateau pressure 35, peak is 50, auto PEEP 8. IDE is 1 to 1.5, and respiratory rate, so on and so forth. All right, so what's going on with this patient? Look at the bottom, the last two data points.
You've got auto PEEP going on, you need to reduce FiO2, you need to increase respiration rate, you've got acidotics.
So if you were trying to make the argument that he has auto PEEP, aside from where it says auto PEEP 8, if you cut that out, you're trying to make this case to somebody over the phone, what would be probably one other thing, well, two other things that you'd say? Hypotensive and your IDE is off, right? I mean, that's is a 1 to 1.5 going to work? It's probably not going to be well tolerated by anybody in here, all right? Nobody in here is going to like that. People like to spontaneously breathe in quickly and breathe out slowly. This guy's breathing in slowly and breathing out reasonably quickly. So what parameters should be measured? Again, vital signs, ABGs, chest x-rays, patient synchrony, ventilator alarms, ventilator settings, major problems. So going back to this, your major problems, we've already hit on all that. So this is talking about possible causes for hypotension. Always keep in mind pneumothorax. I actually had one surprise me a couple weeks ago out of the blue. But positive intrathoracic pressure, auto PEEP, hypovolemia. This is all the things that happen when you have somebody initially gets intubated. They get some poison drugs that cause vasodilation. A lot of patients, if they're sick enough, they haven't been eating, so they're hypovolemic to begin with. And then you stick a breathing tube in them and you initiate positive intrathoracic pressure. And they become hypotensive. And then, to make it even worse, when somebody becomes hypotensive, they pop them off the ventilator, they put them on an AMBU bag, and what inevitably happens with that person that's holding the AMBU bag, they start squeezing harder, right? And now you've made the positive intrathoracic pressure worse. It's something to keep in mind with somebody who's recently been intubated, like in the first 5 minutes. Immediate changes to the ventilator, we've pretty much hit all that. What are the consequences of the following ventilator changes? If you decrease the tidal volume, what's that going to do to you globally? What's it going to do? Likely. From 700? Sure as hell. That's not even a question.
It will decrease oxygenation for the minute volume.
Are you going to decrease oxygenation?
Those are ways to increase oxygenation. CO2 absorb. And then you'll, by going down on tidal volume, I see book says you'll decrease the risk of
volume trauma. Volume trauma, barotrauma. Mm-hmm. With the issue of decreased minute ventilation, elevated CO2, potentially acidosis, potentially other problems, which could be balanced, but nonetheless. You decrease your respiratory rate. You're going to do a lot of those things that we just talked about, CO2 changes, volutrauma, barotrauma, probably more barotrauma. But what do you get with decreasing your respiratory rate? It's a positive.
For E
time. Mm-hmm. Less likely to auto PEEP.
What's a normal IE?
Typically, for most healthy patients, when you set them up on the ventilator, it's going to be 1 to 2. Okay? Mm-hmm. You see somebody with diaphragms that are down at their navel? That's when you need to start thinking like 1 to 3, 1 to 3.5, somewhere in that ballpark. Ultimately, your answer is you hit monitor on the ventilator and you see if they're auto-peeping in that way. Okay, but that's where to. I'm only telling you where to start.
Yeah.
Okay? But giving them enough time to exhale. And if you change the, I don't know where they're going with that because I thought we were on ACVC. I take that back. All right, so COPD, you want to drop your tidal volumes. You want to optimize your expiratory time by reducing rate, increasing flow, okay, and increasing your IDE. Beware of auto-PEEP. Adjust minute ventilation to a low normal pH. 7.35 is fine. 7.30 is fine. You start hitting 7.25, be careful, okay? And then you want to treat obstruction with bronchodilators. Kind of common sense. Questions? All right, I'll leave you guys alone.